Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I am here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. And Tosh, we had yet another Ernest Hemingway game. Ernest Hemingway famously said, "The most exciting thrill somebody can have is to be shot at and nearly missed."
We were shot at. I thought that was a fun game. But when they got that two-point conversion, I had the thought, I am going to be doing a podcast for a 1-4 team on Monday. But I also, though, told my wife next to me, I said, we're right. We kind of got them right where we want them. You know, we've been good at these last second drives. And sure enough, when he hit that pass to Pearson, I thought, yeah, we're at least getting a field goal. And fun game from an offensive perspective.
Yeah, and both teams got breaks through the game. I thought the breaks were pretty similar. And then beyond that, I thought that obviously the offensive explosion was great. Toledo, hats off to Toledo, boy. They've got a good squad. I took a lot of heat last week comparing them to that 2008 BYU offense. But hey, sometimes we get it right.
I think they, when all is said and done, might have four or five guys on their offense that play in the NFL. Like, they were legit.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that we pulled out a tough victory against Toledo. That was a good team.
I 100% thought it was going to be a tough game, so I'm happy with the victory. Offensively, let's just do a quick review of the offense. Is there much more to say than Jamal Williams?
He looked incredible. Like, right now, he's second in all of college football in rushing yards right now. And the only guy ahead of him plays for San Diego State, and they really haven't beat anybody. The schedule that we've had for him to be able to put up the stats he has been incredible.
And that's, you know, during the podcast last week, we had a few discussions about the team, and then in the middle of the week, I had a realization where I was like, you know what, though? Like, the one thing everyone can agree on is that Jamal's awesome. So I wrote a little article about Jamal and put it on Vanquish the Foe. And it is true. This is Jamal Williams' team. And oh, yeah. I think last week he claimed it as his team. It wasn't really his team before then. But going forward, this is absolutely Jamal's team. It needs to be his team. He has to be the person that makes things happen for BYU going forward.
Amen. Totally.
Passing got a little bit better in the sense of they had their two longest passes of the year. The opening pass to Trinneman was exciting and obviously is very well done. Taysom's first completion of the season, throwing to the left side of the field 20 yards or further, goes for 75 yards and a touchdown. That's his first completion. It's on his 14th throw, so 1-for-14 thrown out that way. But
it was a big one.
It was a big one. We needed it. And then beyond that, you came in and you told me that his first completion to the middle of the field over 20 yards downfield was his best pass of the season. I agree with you that, and you already referenced it. But the pass to Colby Pearson on the winning drive, that was very significant play to get them down there. And, hey, Jake the Make, Rhett, you bet. it's going through the uprights if those guys get a chance to wrap their foot on the old pigskin. So, any chance that another kicker on BYU going to kick a game-winning field goal this year? Corey Edwards, he going to do it?
It's doubtful, but isn't it hilarious that going into the year, and I think justifiably so, everyone was absolutely terrified about our kicking game. And then it had been a long, long time since BYU had made a game-winning field goal, and then we have two in the first five games.
That's right, and I think it'll be really, you know, fascinating to see what happened. But the offense really picked up. Obviously, you know, 55 points is an explosion, and they started scoring more. They just picked up more off of what they did against West Virginia And it all starts, again, like we said, with Jamal. The running being better, but they've also been able to make a few more downfield passes. So here's the importance of verticality in offense. Just a small sample, but kind of give an idea. First three games, BYU averaged 17 points per game. They were getting under 10 yards of completion. In the last two games against West Virginia and against Toledo, they're getting 43.5 points per game, and they're getting 14.4 yards per completion. So having more downfield throwing and being successful in that leads to more success running, and it puts more points on the board, frankly. And so I just think, you know, we've got to continue to look that way and see if we can build on those things.
Two games in a row now, Ty has called a great game.
Yeah.
Where he's really taken advantage of the other team's weaknesses, taken advantage of our strengths, really had play calling that played off of each other. Like his, that in crunch time, that fake pitch rollout with Taysom was
a great call.
I was just take my hat off to, it was a greatly called game the last two games in a row.
So let's talk about BYU this week. They are 2-3. That 2-3 is very important, Tosh. I went through and I figured out, okay, Cougars have now played 18 games as a 1-3 team. Ever since they started having seasons with 10 games or more in a season, we've been 1-3 at the start of the season 18 times.
Okay.
The Cougars are 8-10 in that game 5. So we won game 5. Teams that win game 5 and improve to 2-3 finish the season with an average of 6.3 wins. If you lose game 5, they finish with an average of 3.2 wins. So that win over Toledo, that field goal, okay, really big.
Oh, yeah. It probably saved our chances of a bowl game. You know, and because we've got Michigan State, and then we have Mississippi State, and then the Boise State. So three states in a row, but all of them big name schools. Some are not.
Two of them actually states, one of them a city.
Exactly. Some of them are not as good this year as in years past, but all three of them are formidable foes. So we needed that win, and we needed to have some momentum rolling us in to this game this week.
So another team desperate for a win this week, Michigan State, the Spartans. Two losses in a row, something that doesn't happen all that often out there in Flint. This the first time losing two straight since November of 2012, and the last time that they lost three straight games was in September of 2009, Tosh. The Cougars are hoping to update that stat this weekend. How do you feel about the Cougars' chances going into this week?
Tough team. I mean, this Michigan State squad was in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Highly touted, have a lot of they've got a lot of players that the NFL is looking at and that are projected to be draft picks. This is a good Michigan State team, and BYU has proven to be really at their best when we play a good team that no one's given us a chance on. I'm actually
Texas's, Oklahoma's.
Yeah.
Of course, the Big Ten's been a little rough.
I'm actually a little bit nervous now that Michigan State has lost two in a row. They are not overlooking us. And so I actually think we have a good chance of winning, but we're going to need to play our best game. And they are not going to come in here and just thinking that they're going to beat us if they show up.
Well, let me just give you a brief history. The Cougars have played in the state of Michigan. It has not been a friendly place to the Cougars. Whenever we have gone to the state of Michigan, it has not gone well. Except for once, I guess. They're 1-4 all time there. The last time they won was in 1968 in Kalamazoo. They beat Western Michigan.
So it's been almost 50 years since we've won a game in that state.
That's right. And the other bit, though, is that the last time we scored a touchdown against them was in 1970, Tosh.
So almost 50 years since we scored a touchdown.
Okay, since we scored a touchdown. Let me just, I went back, I found an article from 1970. This is written by, you ready? Hack Miller.
Nice.
How amazing is that?
That should be Utah County name of the year.
Hack Miller is the Deseret News sports editor in 1970. Basically from that, I was able to find, after 3 points in the first half and a pick six, BYU coach Tom Hudspeth made a change at quarterback, looking to Rick Jones. Right, Jones took it over for Dave Kuhn. Anyway, Jones was able to get BYU in the end zone through the air when he hit a 22-yard strike to wide receiver Lucky Dare Fleming. That's nice. True.
Slick Rick to Lucky Dare.
Lucky Dare Fleming. It was a passing touchdown that is certain to still be recounted in the moments of recollection of the greatest events to have occurred in Kalamazoo, Tosh. That when Jones hit Lucky Dare Fleming. Anyway, it's the last time BYU scored a touchdown in the state of Michigan. So hopefully it goes a little bit better. But scoring a touchdown against Michigan State, going to be a challenge.
We should be able to score.
Yeah.
But this team is like the epitome of Big Ten football, where they are very tough against the run. They are not used to a lot of prolific pass defense, passing attacks. But at the same time, they're, as it seems like almost every Big Ten school not named Ohio State, is that they sell out on the run and they will just dare you to beat them over the top. And the thing that scares us and that, well, it scares me and I know it scares you, is that their strength and their game plan is the game plan of what's been proven to give Taysom Hill trouble.
That's right. And that's what they do. They play an over 4-3 D, and essentially all they do is they play cover four, but instead of being full present on that cover four, they just move the secondary up. So safeties line up 10 yards deep. And then they will put press coverage on the wideouts with their corners 100% of the time. I would be surprised if you see it ever this Saturday. If you ever see a cornerback off the line of scrimmage, I'll be surprised. But they're going to be busy trying to disrupt the timing of the passing game, forcing receivers to kind of bubble on their release as they run up the field. And their biggest thing that they do, the whole thing for them, is they play downhill run first. They keep tight coverage on the outside, and that's how they do it. But then they also, because of the cover four, and everyone is always kind of willing to drop back and go deep and then come forward and tackle, the issue is that you have to, going over the top on them is possible, but they kind of want you to throw those passes. Where you can really make hay against Michigan State is on intermediate routes. So when you pass 10 to 19 yards, kind of that middle part of the field, that's where you can really beat up on Michigan State. And here's why the passing matters, Tosh, because Michigan State's number 16 in the country on run defense. Okay, they're the number one team in the country at allowing the fewest runs that have exploded. So they've only allowed 7 runs that have gained 10 yards or more this year. That's number one in the country. But conversely, they allowed plenty of passes for 10 yards or more this year. They're 63rd nationally. This is how teams beat them, but then then it turns around. So once it gets to 30 yards or more, they're one of the best pass defenses too at not allowing like 30 yard gains. So that little 10 to 29 yard space, that's where the Cougars may have an opportunity to attack it, and that's where Indiana was successful, and it's where Wisconsin was successful.
And it's why we have a chance, because our receivers, and I don't mean this as a super negative, I'm just being real here. Our receivers, I think, are more intermediate passing threats than they even are deep threats. Like, you go through the list of our receivers, most of them, that's their Nick Kurtz. He's not a deep threat, but he's been proven to be able to make a grab in the immediate, intermediate. Pearson, you know, even MLP. Really, Hanneman's the only one that...
Juergens.
These are intermediate guys, and so
or short.
Yeah, they're that too.
They can
Except
run
Kurtz
the short
isn't,
routes.
But oh, you mean I thought you meant short in stature.
I mean short routes though. Yeah.
And so,
by the way, Algie Brown from the backfield.
Yeah,
that was a good play both times.
He's good. He's got good hands. As long as we forget the one drop that none of us have forgotten. But other than that,
Wasn't that Squally?
No, against Nebraska.
Oh, yes.
See, maybe many people have forgotten it except me. I need to forgive him for the drop against Nebraska.
We all have things. I'm still angry about Eric Thornton going to him twice against Utah in 2013.
So, yeah. Either way, Taysom, I think, can throw an intermediate ball. The real battle is going to be, is our best player, our offense is defined by Jamal, is he going to be able to get yards? And he doesn't need 300, obviously, but can he average over 5 yards a carry? Can we get 100-plus yards out of him? so that we make them play honest to some level. That, I think, is going to be the battle that decides the game.
I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, I decided to look up NFL draft prospects. Let's talk about the Michigan State defense. The first news that we have is if they're going to make hay on the ground, they better do it in the first half, because Malik McDowell, the defensive tackle from for the Spartans, he's expected to be a first rounder. I've seen him as high as a top five pick in places. Malik McDowell got called for targeting against Indiana. He was ejected from the game. He will sit out the first half against BYU, but he will be fresh and ready to go for that second half. He'll be a challenge for the center and for the guard to block. So Malik McDowell, beyond that, they also have five other players on that defense that are currently looked at to be they have a third-round safety. They have a fourth-round free safety. They have a sixth-round linebacker. Okay, so they have all sorts of great, you know, depth there that allows them an opportunity. And some people even think that they have another linebacker who could sneak into the seventh. But he's definitely going to get a free agent contract, right? So it's one of those things. I think that their defense is where their talent lies primarily. And that's where they have the most people that kind of, you know, put some fear into you. But without Malik McDowell, you know, they're going to look to their defensive ends, Sherrod and Jones, and they're going to look to these guys to try to step up and add up for that. But this has been one of the better defenses at stopping the run. So when you have a team completely selling out on the run, we've seen teams effectively hinder Jamal. But what they've been able to do more is, while Jamal has struggled and had to fight for yards, what's happened is, against Utah, Jamal only got 12 carries.
Yeah.
Against
UCLA,
he only got 14 carries. Like, it gets frustrating, and so then what's happened to Ty is that he's kind of moved on from that and tried to go to the pass. And part of that is, I think they were playing from behind, and so
Far behind in either game, but a lot. As a coordinator, you're looking out in the field and you see they're putting seven or eight guys in the box, and you're thinking, well, they're giving us the pass. Like, we've got to throw it over those guys and make them change up their defense. But so far, against those two teams you mentioned that really sold out, it didn't work.
Well, and I think the thing that they're going to have to do, though, is completely commit to it, Tosh. As much as it may suck and not be that fun, in a lot of ways, they need to play like a Big Ten team. And frankly, that's what BYU is constructed as. They are a Big Ten. They're big up front. They've got an aggressive runner. And they're best when their quarterback isn't looked to make plays. We have fullback sets. And they're best to, you know, when the whole thing, the quarterback throws no interceptions and he makes a few plays for you here or there, but is not looked to be the person to win. But you're going to win with physicality. You're going to run hard. You're going to do those things. They're kind of a Big Ten team anyway.
Yeah.
So I just think it'll be really interesting to see if Ty has the discipline, and if the fans, you know, I think people might get frustrated with it because, hey, the run's not working. But I think you got to pound Jamal 26 times.
He's our best playmaker. He needs 20 plus touches, and hopefully he can make a play and break a couple out.
Yeah. I think you let him keep going. You let him keep working, and you rely on Johnny Linehan to make some punts for you, and you see if you can grind this thing out. I don't know. Do you agree or disagree?
100% agree. And that's where I think the game's going to be won or lost, is on that side of the ball we're talking about. Our offense versus their defense. And the reason being is that, obviously, the other side matters. But I'm not that scared of this Michigan State offense. They're starting quarterback O'Connor. He was not their starting quarterback last year of their playoff team. All of their good receivers they have are coming back. They got a guy, Shelton, Corley. They've put up decent numbers this year, not off the charts.
Shelton's the guy to be scared of, though. If they see him lined up on certain personnel, they might take some shots with him downfield. Yeah, he's a big play receiver.
He only has two touchdowns this year, though. But, yeah, he has had a couple big ones. And I'm just – none of these guys were their playmakers from last year. Their offense is a lot of new names. The only exception to that, their running back, LJ Scott, was also their leading rusher last year. He's a good, solid player. But I really feel like our defense, as much as fans think that our defense was just terrible, I think we're going to match up a lot better this week against Michigan State than, ironically, we did against the Toledo Rockets last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think some people are thinking that the Monstars have stolen the talents of our defense at this point. I don't really... You know, I don't know if I buy that. I expected Toledo to be really good, and I expected them... Toledo, this is what they do. They burn everybody at this point. And especially if you allow any time. The biggest problem with the defense, Tosh, and it's what we covered in the beginning of the year in our defensive preview, we're a 4-3-D. The most important unit when you play 4-3 is that defensive line. That's also BYU's weakest unit defensively. Yeah.
They're okay against the run. I think they're average to above average against the run. They are below average against the pass. Like, opposing teams' quarterbacks are having way too much time. And we'll get the occasional pass rush, but nothing that's consistent. And that is a concern. Our defensive backs had their, you know, worst game, but we knew that, and we said that going in. When you're playing man coverage, there will be games that the receivers are dang good and are burning you, and that was last week. I don't see that happening again. I want to give...
There may be a couple passes
that happen. But it's not going to be like Toledo where it's just... they're making our guys look silly.
Right.
The one thing I will say, too, about their offense, about O'Connor, he is a pretty efficient completion percentage. He averages over 60% completions on the year, but he's already thrown 5 picks in 4 games. I look for...
He has a similar thing to what's going on with Taysom. He doesn't stretch.
Yeah.
He doesn't stretch the field that well. His yards per attempt are not huge.
Only 7.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's decent. That's an average, but he's not somebody that's really going to murder you downfield.
And the guy that's not getting enough credit, so we got right now Jamal is 2nd in the country in rushing yards. Not many people realize Kai Nakua is leading the country in interceptions right now.
Right.
And so I would love for him to, again, just do what I love about none of his picks look that hard. It just seems like he's always in the right spot. Hmm. But that guy, he's got great instincts in getting, and that's we're going to need some turnovers this week, I feel like, to be able to hang with
team. They've been prone to that. People have scored off turnovers. Scoring off turnovers is important. Getting short fields, the Diane Lake return last week was just massively important to the team. And I think that the way that our guys, after they make interceptions, I just feel like there's this mandate with the defense where it's like, you are taking it back because it's like we have to score points and, you know, and you guys have as good of a chance, you know, or at least you need to make it, give us the best shot that we can, you know. And I it's not enough just simply to make the play, like, you know, after that. I mean, Diane Lake's like gained like 35 yards after
awesome.
An interception.
He was juking,
like,
guys.
It was great. Yeah. And so you've got to be able to do that. I love it when defenses kind of get hungry like that, and they feel that urgency to not only keep the other team off the board, but to contribute to our scoreboard. I think that when a defense gets locked in like that, it can be as much fun as anything.
Amen.
But everybody else is saying that it's all gone. You know, are we being too lenient?
No, I mean, there's going to be tough games. And Toledo was really, really good. And here's the other thing,
Butch?
I think. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Butch is incredible. Butch is probably the MVP of the season so far on the defensive side. And this Lions game even proved that without him, like, that guy is another guy that's in the right place at the right time almost every play. And I thought Pulsifer, who filled in for him, played well. But he was no Butch.
Yeah, he wasn't closing down the line of scrimmage and filling gaps and making hard tackles.
And his instincts were just not like... Butch is still questionable this week. I'm really just hoping that we can see him on the field again.
Tosh, we would be remiss if we didn't mention missed tackles.
Yeah,
two games in a row. What are the missed tackles about? Now, I think part of it is that we... basically, West Virginia Toledo did a better job of putting people in space.
Yeah.
And when you're in space, it's harder to make tackles.
And almost all the missed tackles against Toledo were against the same guy. Their running back.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt.
That guy was one shifty dude.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of it. Anyone who's played football, I think, has felt where you have games where you don't miss a tackle, but then you go against a guy that's just dang hard to tackle, and everyone's thinking, wrap up. You know, that's the common thing. And it's like, dude, I'm wrapping up the same as I did last week. This guy, he's just hard to tackle. Like, he's a better player than who we've played against before.
So we are feeling a little better about that defense. We think that what helps is we don't think Michigan State is Virginia, West Virginia. We definitely don't think that they're Toledo offensively, but we do think that they provide different things, but we think that we can maybe stop that run and maybe force, because it's passing. When a team can pass downfield, I think that's impossible to guard.
Offensively,
it's
really tough. They are a Utah or a UCLA. That's why I see this being a close, we're going to be in the game, but
we're in every
we
game,
lost
Tosh.
To both those teams, so
we're in every single game, Tosh.
That is very true.
All right, now it is time for 10 for Tosh. 10 for Tosh, 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. These are not opinion, they are fact. Question number one, Michigan State allows an average of 100 yards rushing per game. How many will Jamal Williams run for against the Spartans?
So yeah, 100 yards rushing per game, they're giving that up as a team. And so Jamal by himself, he's freaking Jamal Williams. He will still get 135 yards rushing this week.
All right. Question number two, over under 3.5 BYU tight end receptions. People were giving the heart eyes emoji to Tanner Baldery.
Yeah, he played great. We're going to go, we will get 5 tight end receptions.
Wow.
Yeah, that this team, they give up the intermediate routes. We will be able to sneak behind their linebackers, and Baldery is coming into this game with confidence and gave the coaches confidence.
Question number three, how many sacks does BYU record? This has been the weakness for the Cougars.
3. So, which, we need more than that, but we will get 3.
We had 2 against Toledo, 3 against Michigan State.
Yep. That Toledo guy had not been sacked all year. He gets rid of the ball. He's a smart quarterback. But we got 2. We will get 3 this week.
Okay. You think some coverage sack? Maybe 1 coverage sack and 2 just based on pressure? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go 1. Yeah. Yeah, I think 1 and 2. That's
all right. Question number 4. How many turnovers does Michigan State force? And this is the big one. When we have played cleanly and not had any turnovers, we've won. And when we've had turnovers, we've lost. And you know, there's more to it than that, but it helps not to turn the ball over. So how many does Michigan State force off the Cougars?
2. 1 fumble and 1 interception.
Question number 5. How many times does the play-by-play announcer refer to Michigan State as Sparty?
42.
42?
Yeah, it's going to be his go-to.
He loves it.
And the color guy. It's going to be both. Like, but yeah, Sparty, we will hear a lot of Sparty.
You know, I saw that there was a prop bet in Vegas about whether or not the announce team, the color guy on the announce team is going to stay the whole game.
That was funny.
Question number 6. BYU fans believe Boise State cheats because their blue uniforms blend in with the blue turf. If the Spartans were to win Saturday, how many BYU fans will complain about the green Michigan State uniforms blending in with the green grass?
3, but it will be a very outspoken 3. I've always found that funny as well. Like, no one gets mad at the Oregons or at the Michigan States for wearing green. And it's all fun. It's like, if the Boise State thing really worked, you know, they'd be laying on the field and then popping up like ghosts, you know, for interceptions.
But I mean, I don't think that it's absolutely unfounded, you know, that there's a little advantage there.
I've never heard a player, though, bring it up. And I think if the players were getting confused, surely they'd be bringing it up.
All I know is this is not very fun to watch Boise State.
That's
when they're on their home field
TV.
In the blue.
I think it affects TV more than it affects anything.
Sometimes you don't see people. It's true. Question number 7. BYU hasn't, like I mentioned before, hasn't scored a touchdown in the state of Michigan since 1970. God bless Mr. Fleming. Lucky Dare Fleming for that. He was the last guy to do it in 1970. When will BYU score its first touchdown on Saturday to break this horrible nightmare?
We will score in the first quarter.
Hey!
To break the Romney curse.
Hang on.
Wasn't Mitt Romney's dad the governor of Michigan?
Ooh.
And so I think... We will break the Romney curse and we will score a touchdown in the first quarter.
In the first quarter. Oh, that'll be exciting. I hope somewhere, old Lucky Dare, he'll be smiling. So
take that, Romney.
Question number 8. What is the minimum amount of pass yards that Michigan State will pass for? BYU is currently one of the worst pass defenses in America. Part of that is they played Toledo.
We just gave up 500 passing yards and won.
So they're one of the worst pass defenses in America by the stats.
We will give up 290 yards is what we will.
That's
give
at minimum.
Yeah. We're not a good. Well, I'm not saying minimum. I'm just saying that's how many.
Well, the question was minimum. Okay, what's the minimum?
225. Okay. 225
still,
minimum.
That's still bad.
But write it down. We will give up 290.
Okay. Question number 9. Kind of low key in this last week, but super important. BYU blocked a field goal. Had they not, we may have lost.
We won a 2-point game, and so that blocked field goal was huge.
Will there be another blocked kick by BYU?
The answer this week is no. We won't block on 2 weeks in a row. And I love how the in-stadium announcer just gave the credit to Corbin Kafusi, and it wasn't even him. It's like the announcer just figured, that guy's like listed as 6'10 on the basketball team. It's got to be him.
Well, what's funny is that during football broadcasts, he's mentioned to be 6'8".
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
2 inches different between seasons.
It's kind of like when Kevin Durant says that he's like 7 foot, you know, when he's on the basketball floor, but when he's around girls, he tells them he's 6'9".
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
No, it happens all the time.
He's trying to normalize himself more. Old KD. I don't know. It seems like a trick he doesn't need to make.
No, he's
Kevin
tall.
Freaking Durant.
He's tall.
Well, no, but is he having a hard time getting, like, girls to like him?
No. And, yeah, how many girls, when they're dating NBA people, really care about those extra, you know?
They're like, I'm a little freaked out because he's 7 feet tall. Okay, yeah. Anyway. Question 10, what is the Sunday morning headline?
Jamal Williams emerges as the true Spartan.
Whoa!
They're really taking a shot at them right there.
Wow, that's pretty. That is pretty mean, for sure. But no, so elaborate on that with your game and score predictions. Obviously, you must believe that Jamal is going to have a very nice day.
Yeah.
In Flint.
And I don't think, our standards were based, what do you go, 280 something last week or something?
But throw the skew away for a second.
We're not getting that.
He's not doing 280 with five touchdowns.
But here's how I think it happens.
By the way, you mentioned this to me. You texted me during the game. BYU had 4 pass completions and 4 touchdowns at one point in that game.
Yeah.
Think of how amazing. I mean, we went to halftime with only 3 pass completions.
Yeah.
That's freaking amazing. 4 completions through the air, and we had 4 touchdowns on the scoreboard.
Because Jamal was a
only one of them was a pass. So the other 3 were rushing touchdowns. They were all Jamal. Jamal's. I mean, this
and the O-line. The O-line was giving him some nice holes.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? That O-line that everyone thought was horrible for so long suddenly was.
They're
going to
have their work cut out for him, and they're not going to look as good this week. But here's how I see the game playing out: that BYU will. I think we're going to get to an early lead, actually. But we're not going to be able to blow the doors off them. Michigan State's going to come back, take the lead, and we're going to have a hard-fought game where Jamal is getting a lot of carries, but only getting, you know, his 4 yards per carry thing. But then in the fourth quarter, I see him breaking a couple heartbreakers for them. And that is how we I think that we win a close one, 27-21, and that we again this BYU team has confidence for a 2-3 team. I think we can beat anybody, and I think our defense, even though they got the doors blown off them last week, they still got 2 turnovers. We have a little bit of swagger on offense and defense now. And I think we go in there and beat a very good Michigan State team. Here's what scares me, though, and this shouldn't matter, but Vegas has picked the winner of BYU's games every single game this year. If going into the game they had us as the winner, we've won. If they had us as the loser, we've lost. And in Vegas this week has Michigan State as 5.5-point favorites. But I am going to say that Vegas' lucky streak is over, that we win this week 27-21.
When facing a third straight loss in his career, Mark D'Antonio.
No relation to Mike D'Antonio.
No. Okay. No, one's football, one does basketball, and both Italian.
Nice.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Mark D'Antonio, 9-4. Sorry. So, yes. So, now that I'm seeing, that's 9-4 on that. When facing a three-game losing streak, he is 7-2 at Michigan State when facing that third straight loss. Just doesn't happen to them all that often. The odds are in the favor that may not happen. I thought that was an interesting thing to kind of take a look at. One other kind of fun side note just to bring it up. And, I'm sorry, everybody, but I have to bring it up. From as far back as I was able to research, okay? So, like, back to the 1950s, okay?
60 years worth of
this research. Is a lot of 60 okay. years worth of it. In BYU football history, we have never had a time where we've had a quarterback who has had a negative touchdown to interception ratio. Like Taysom Hill does right now. We have never had a time where we've thrown more interceptions than touchdown passes, and that guy got to play as the starter for Game 6. Except twice. It happened in 2013, and it will happen in 2016, and both of the times that it has occurred will be with Taysom Hill. Every other previous instance has seen a quarterback change. So, what we're seeing now is completely unusual, and we'll see him on the field. And, Tosh, I have to say, you and I have been saying it for years now, Tosh, years, that a team that can press, team that can truly take the ready of the run, and I think that 130 yards, even if that's what Jamal gets, that's a pretty successful day for BYU as they could help. But I also think that might be seen as it'd be a little loss. For yeah. Michigan State, but I think at most that means that the BYU scoring 17 points.
We're going to need more than that.
Okay. Yeah, so I just that. See them scoring 17 points with that. We've seen Taysom Hill and BYU struggle too many times against defenses that are able to do precisely what Michigan State does. Michigan State is not game planning this for BYU because it's BYU. This is Michigan State's defensive game plan every game that they play. This is what they do. They're excellent at it. They win all the time. D'Antonio doesn't lose third games very often. Three in a row very often. So I hate it. Michigan curse continues. I think BYU will score 17. I don't think Michigan State is going to really be lighting it up. So I will take another thriller 20 point for Michigan State. So it's 20-17. But I like the Spartans. This weekend. Thanks again very much. Do you have any other thoughts?
No, I think that, man, would it be nice or what if we just had a blowout win? But I don't see that happening this week. Like,
do you see it next week against Mississippi State?
Maybe, more so than I see it this week.
Or Boise?
It might be a ways away. But either way, it is a fun year. Like, that's what...
Yeah.
That's what I've been telling a lot of people. Like, people are, like, taking shots. Like, oh, it's hard to be a BYU fan this year. And I'm... Like, it's actually been, yeah, I wish we had won some of those games, but it is, I think, been a fun season. We've got some good players. We just need all three aspects of the football team to have a good game at the same time. And we're going to need that against Michigan State in order to pull out the win.
Yeah, and I hope desperately that that takes place. A big win at Michigan State would be absolutely giant. For this team as they continue to grow and as basically, you know what? It's for the coaches. More than anything, a huge road win like that early in their career.
Great for recruiting. It'd be great.
It's just it would be a real big deal. Again, thank you. You're listening to one of the most listened to podcasts on for college sports on iTunes. So we appreciate all of you going out, listening to the show, telling your friends about it, and giving us a rating on iTunes and enjoying it. Tosh, we got our first negative rating.
It was bound to happen.
It's bound to happen. So I hope that
we really want the positive guys to go and do that. If you're gonna give it a negative review, just forget, procrastinate it.
But it seems interesting to me that you'd take the energy to go.
But we'll take them all as long as he keeps listening.
You know what? Yeah.
Maybe tell your friends about how terrible this is. But either way, 15 15 fully perfect reviews. We can live with that.
So we want everybody to keep listening. Again, follow us on Twitter and watch out for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. Thank you again for all the support.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!